Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Action fanatics, welcome to episode 115 of the Bulletproof Podcast. I am your host, Chris the Brain, and joining me for this huge edition of the Bulletproof Podcast, I'm going to be joined by the Toy Man, Christy Petrillo.
Hello, everybody. Happy to be here, as always.
Also joining me, my dear, longtime, close personal friend, Ryan Campbell.
I'm on a roll, man. It's like, what, I've done quite a few of these recently.
You have. And last, but certainly not least, he is back again, Chad Cruz. Chad, are you there?
I'm back. Yeah, you're like, he's back again. I did like 100 in a row, and then I missed like five, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm back again.
We had to tape in advance. That way we had your footage to air in your absence.
You should just take some like little clips of me cursing and like opening beer cans and just insert them randomly into podcasts that I miss.
A few sexual innuendos. We could probably get an AI to do that.
Yeah. You know what?
We could do what South Park did when Isaac Hayes left and just take like various quotes and phrases and words and just rephrase it around a whole different podcast.
I think it's a good idea. If you just say, here, let me just help you. Bonerific. Do I ever say that?
Yeah, you just did now. Oh.
Okay. That was so hot. You could just insert that into some movie.
You could podcast. Insert something too if you want.
Yeah, but we're watching action movies, not hard bodies.
That's so hot.
It doesn't matter. Chad Cruz will find filth in anything he watches. But yeah, here we are. This is the first time all four of us will be here to discuss a movie. We did do the draft show together, but that didn't do anything for us. But it was fun. It was definitely fun. But yeah, this is the first time we're going to be talking about a movie together, all four of us, just about the entire staff of BulletproofAction.com, with the exception of Matt Spector, who wants nothing to do with podcasts, listening to him, being a part of it, or anything. I'm happy he gives me his two posts a month, and I'm good. So thanks, Matt. While I mentioned it, BulletproofAction.com, of course we want you to visit there. Of course we have something new there all the time. And, I just did some Charles Bronson content. You know I love that. Check that out, folks. Ryan Campbell, he's been doing The Bad Batch. Some people care about that.
Yep, we just did a Fallout. We did an X-Men 97 article. We got Hot D Season 2 coming up. The Acolyte for Star Wars fans out there. So,
Yeah. Ryan's got your nerd shit covered, basically.
That's me, man.
Hell yeah.
If it makes money, I cover it.
If it only would make me money, is what I'm...
No, yeah, I didn't say for you, just in the box office.
Thank you. But yeah, of course, bulletproofaction.com. And we encourage you to follow us on social media at Bulletproof Pod on X, at Bulletproof Action on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. But guys, we are going to be talking about one of my favorite movies. It is Drive. It is from, originally released in 1997. Didn't hit the USA until August 11th, 1998. Before we get into the movie, I have a question for everyone. I think I know I know Ryan's answer. He has never seen this movie before. Correct?
Correct. I thought it was, I thought it was a movie about a race car driver.
Yeah,
first.
No, you're wrong. Chad Cruz, when did you know about this movie?
I don't believe that it was like in 98. I didn't see it when it first came out. It was probably, I felt like when I saw Brotherhood of the Wolf and I rediscovered Mark Dacascos, like my love for him,
right.
I did like a, you know, let's find some stuff that he did that I hadn't seen or that I hadn't seen in a long time. I remember Only the Strong was like the one that I obsessed over as a kid. And then I kind of forgot it. You know, I saw a couple of his direct to video stuff and I kind of forgot about him for a decade. And then, it was probably in your early 2000s is my guess.
Yeah. Mine was even late. Mine was when we started the site and I kind of was in the same boat, like, oh, what else did he ever do? Like, I loved Only the Strong. I still love Only the Strong. And I, obviously I knew about, Double Dragon, and I think he did like some kind of Showtime Roger Corman like movie from like it was set in the 50s. I remember that, and it's like I don't know. I lost touch with him, and but I'm gonna guess that the Toy Man saw it on August 12th, 1998.
It was not that soon, but yes, it was very early on. And I believe, I know I've mentioned to you offline, but I think I mentioned on our previous podcast when we talked about Hard to Kill and previewed that we were going to be talking about Drive, that I have a VHS copy, which is actually a screener VHS copy that had been sent to video stores. I purchased it brand new, thinking I was getting a regular old VHS copy off Amazon back in the day. And it turned out it was one to try to sell Drive and some other wares to video stores around the country.
What a nice little piece of memorabilia you have there, though.
Oh, yeah,
I do.
All right, well, let's get into the movie. It starts off, a ship from Hong Kong has arrived in San Francisco. Stowaway on this ship is Toby Wong, played by Mark Dacascos. And we're going to soon find out he's just not some random stowaway Chad Cruz. He is something special to the Leung Corporation.
Toby Wong, fucking Charlie Chan. You guys get that reference?
You're amazing.
You get that reference?
Is that the AI talking?
No, dude, that's Reservoir Dogs. I wonder if they're connected. Do you think they're connected? Is this a part of the Quentin Tarantino like universe? No. You don't remember that part from Reservoir Dogs?
There wasn't really enough feet in this movie for that to be the case.
Don't. That's true. I don't remember. No one's smoking weird cigarettes. All right, well, I'll go fuck myself then. But yeah, Toby Wong is a stowaway on a ship. And basically, the moment we meet him, he is under attack from a bunch of dudes who aren't going to live.
Right, and among those dudes is one Vic Madison. He does live, though. He comes in, he's like, you know, well, spoiler alert, yeah. You know, he's been sent by the boss, Mr. Lau, because I guess Mr. Lau figured the guys on the ship were probably useless, so he needs to send in the heavy artillery. He sends in Vic. John Piper Ferguson played him. And he's there specifically. They know that obviously they've lost track of Toby in Hong Kong, so they figured where he went. And the interesting thing here, Chris, is they can't kill Toby, though, because there's something special about this man. So that kind of provides a little wrinkle to the story already.
Yeah, they can't damage the merchandise, so to speak. You know, they need him to be intact. They need the equipment that the implant to be in tip-top condition. So they can stun him, they can tase him, they can beat him down, but they cannot shoot, stab, or try to maim him as we would normally see in situations like this.
So that gives him, obviously, an advantage, and that gives us, Ryan Campbell, our first chance of seeing the type of action that we're going to see throughout this film.
That's right. Very fast-paced, a lot going on. We get a nice little cool glimpse that something is maybe a little different about him when he makes like a really high, quick jump to grab onto a crate that's being raised on the ship. And like, so we don't quite have all the information yet about what exactly is inside him, but that gives us our first little hint that like, maybe something, you know, either he is really, really talented or there's something else going on here. But yeah, very creative, cool action shots. This is before the era of so many quick cuts. So you really get to kind of sit in on the fight scenes and kind of see the awesome stunt work on display. So some really good fight scenes, but yeah, we get to see a little tease of what exactly he's capable of.
So because of his skills, he does get off the ship unscathed. And then we cut to a bar where we see we see Malik Brody, played by Kadeem Hardison of A Different World fame. And he's getting an early start to both his drinking and songwriting. Chad, have you ever wrote a song at a bar?
I don't know if I've ever written an entire song, but I'm sure I've like jotted down some lyrics that I think would sound really good, yeah. You know, on a napkin. Yep. You know what I mean?
You just drew a pair of tits. That's what you did.
And just draw giant jugs with a tiny little waist. Yeah. And no head. I never draw a head.
Or you did that little S thing that was on all of our school books growing up, whatever, it doesn't have a name.
Yes, I know exactly the S thing you're talking. It's like a block S.
With three lines and you connect them. Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't know the S thing?
In a pre-internet age, the fact that like almost any kid our age knows that is you could do a documentary on how that spread.
We should do a podcast on our brain.
Let's do it.
You know, you guys can have any little offshoot podcast you'd like and put it here on the Bulletproof Podcast Network or the Geekscape Network. I'm sure Jonathan would love to have an S conversation on his network. There's all kinds of S already on the network. Why not one more, right?
There you go.
Well, anyway, as busting your balls, that's what Joe the bartender is doing to Malik. Like, what are you doing? You know, obviously, you've lost your wife. You've lost this. You've done this. You're sitting here at a bar at probably 11 o'clock in the morning. It's a sad state of affairs, but Malik is very confident that he will. His time is coming. You know, he's going to be a big hit. And that's when the trench coat wearing Toby shows up. Where'd he get the trench coat, Chris?
I'm assuming he ripped it off of one of the henchmen. Maybe that's why they start tracking him through the whole movie. They just want their trench coat back.
Well, I don't think he has it much longer.
He does not.
Maybe
it's like, my keys are in the pocket. That's all we need.
Yeah, really. Maybe it was like a Kyle Reese situation where he just took it off a homeless
guy. Seemed pretty clean, but maybe. Maybe the
Remember when Reese wore that homeless guy's clothes for like days and then banged the shit out of Linda Hamilton? Yeah.
He just went commando in those dirty bum pants. Oof, and then she was,
The Sex and Shit Podcast with Chad Cruz.
I spent about 9 months going commando one time, and it was liberating. It was good.
Thank you for sharing that information with us.
Sounds like you were launching a lot of cruise missiles.
That sounds like something the Liver King would say.
A lot of zipper pubes.
All right.
I mean, saves time when you're shaving, right?
And here's where we'd have that Manscaped gimmick again if you just give us a sponsorship, you bastards.
That's true. Lord, it's good enough 2.0. For Joey Diaz, it's good enough for us.
Use the promo code Toyman so you could be as bald as he is.
Whoa, hey, wait a minute. So you can be as smooth as the plastic on my action figures.
Hashtag zipper pubes.
That's the promo code.
Yes.
You better go claim that profile name on X before someone takes it.
Well, after Toby orders his beer, things are going to change very quickly for Malik because some of the guys, perhaps the owners of the aforementioned trench coat, show up and, you know, they just start shooting. Malik wisely hides. Joe, the bartender, grabs his gun because he's like, nobody's going to shoot a gun in my bar except me, and he gets shot. Toby's kicking people's ass. He's like swinging from a ceiling fan or a light, and we just get what we're supposed to get, Chad Cruz. When an action hero enters a bar, we need a bar fight.
Hell yeah. It's a good one, too. I mean, it's like we already got to see Toby in action a little bit on the ship, right? And I feel like at different times, some of the henchmen are either unaware that we're not supposed to kill this guy, or because on the ship, they're all like trying to shoot him in the leg. And then throughout the film, they're like, oh, shoot him in the leg, shoot him in the leg. But every once in a while, you just get like three dudes that are obviously trying to kill him. And it never works, obviously.
It could be a natural instinct because he's like kicking their ass. So
yes. And we got to see the upside down ceiling fan, spin around, shooty thingy like they did in Punisher Warzone. Remember that?
That's a good move.
Excellent movie.
Yeah, except for this, he only shoots like 10 times here and not 650 rounds.
We did too much Roadhouse with the double dip last time. I guess kept waiting for the cooler to come in and break things up.
I needed them.
Another person goes commando straight after some sex. Throws those blue jeans on.
Well, who's got time to put undies on?
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you who's got time. Vic, he shows up and he finds Malik hiding and he uses him. He's holding the gun to Malik's head. He's like, okay, I'll let this guy go. You got to surrender. But you hear it. Here comes the sirens, which is good. I mean, this is something that should happen. You would think with all the gunfire that was going on in this bar, someone outside of the bar was probably calling and saying, hey, policemen, there's people shooting each other next door to me. Maybe you should come check it out. So that was good. That was believable. So when the police do arrive, Vic, being the weasel he is, acts like he was the victim in all this. Toby ends up taking Malik hostage as a means of escape. And soon they are in Malik's Dodge Challenger. And Malik is obviously quite confused, Chad Cruz. But Toby tells him one simple thing he has to do. Drive.
Ding.
Yep. Just drive, man. Well, I don't know. I mean, I love when a title is mentioned in a movie, and we all do. But I still don't love the title of this film.
What would you call this movie, Chad?
Turbo.
I was gonna say a Turbo Drive.
Yeah, Turbo. Yeah, because it would like connect to what's going on with him as well as the escape. And I don't know. That's just the first thing that popped in my head, but there's gotta be something out there. Zipper Pube.
No, it won't be that. Toyman, when are we going to get our Toby Wong and Malik Brody action figures?
We'll have to put them next to the Paul Kersey and, Canon All-Stars American Ninja Revenge of the Ninja set, with Duty and Shokasugi and others. Although, doing a Toby Wong could make for a nice two-on-one to just take off the jumpsuit and have the pants and tank top so that he could be Lewis Stevens.
There you go. That's see, perfect. You've just talked yourself into making more money. Now, if you can only so talk the powers that be into the same.
What an easy industry to make money in. Jeez.
Come on now.
There's like no competition whatsoever.
Not for freaking Mark Dacascos' figure, there isn't.
Hey, doesn't it really seem like what's Vic Madison? Is that his last
That's
name?
That's right.
Doesn't it feel like a what's his name? Michael Wincott from The Crow. Yeah. It's like the exact it's same.
Funny thing. That you say that, Chad Cruz, because like we were talking while you were slacking earlier. And John Piper Ferguson actually plays Top Dollar on the Crow Stairway to Heaven TV series, in which Eric Draven was played by Mark Dacascos.
There you go.
That is the actor that I was thinking of earlier.
He is?
Thank you.
Yes. When they did the Stairway to Heaven, was it just like a two-episode thing, or how many episodes
was it? No, it was about the full season. I want to say like 50.
Probably two seasons then.
No way.
They went for a while. It actually ended on a cliffhanger.
Oh shit.
I will pull up the amount of episodes right now on the internet machine.
I felt like I had
I'm sorry, it was 22 episodes.
Well, that's way more than I thought.
From September 25th, 1998, so about a month after Drive was released. Until May 22nd, 1999. So we're approaching the 25-year anniversary of the end.
Hmm.
And it was canceled when PolyGram was sold to Universal Studios, who decided not to continue the show.
I think
producers planned to make a TV movie to wrap up the loose ends from the cliffhanger, but it never materialized.
Brain should watch the entire series, and then we should do a podcast on it.
I used to watch it all the time, so...
I've only seen the very beginning of it. I mean, like I said, I only thought it was like a mini series, like a few episodes, because it basically was just like the movie. They're like a remake of the film. It felt kind of odd watching it, to be honest, but I know we're getting a little off topic here.
That,
I'm just glad so now YouTube, know who that was. It was my
YouTube does not appear to have, yeah, YouTube doesn't have all of them. They have like pieces broken up, but on the Internet Archive, I have noticed them.
Mm. Awesome.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Guys, I don't think he was serious.
No.
Yeah, well, they're driving because this movie is Drive, and it's a bit of a wild ride. There's some damage done to Malik's car along the way. Toby is trying to explain somewhat of what's going on, while at the same time not allowing Malik to smoke in his own car. Basically, he needs Malik to drive him. They're in San Francisco. They're in the Bay Area. Drive him all the way down to Los Angeles, whether he wants to or not.
It's a nice drive, though.
It is.
Nice scenic drive along the coast. Mm-hmm. Top down. Friendships made. Mm. Cool 2.5 mil. That's not a bad
deal. He doesn't
deal.
Know that part yet. But meanwhile, Vic, he's got an RV that he's traveling around in. And we meet his right-hand man, Hedgehog, played by the one and only Tracy Walter, who's been in many, many things.
Bob the Goon.
Bob the Goon. Yeah. He's Bob the Goon in the Conan film. Yep, one of the Conans.
Conan the Destroyer. Yep.
The one I don't want to talk about. Okay,
well, he's in it. Hedgehog is a huge fan of the show Walter the Einstein Frog, and I would like Chad Cruz to watch every episode of this and then talk to his friends about it. So
I'm going to start right now. I'll see you guys. Okay. I'll talk
is
to you.
Walter the Einstein Frog a real show?
It is not, but I believe it's they made like whatever. I think they put all the clips of it.
Okay. I assumed it wasn't, but when you said that, I was like, hold on.
There are clips of it, like the clips from the movie are on YouTube.
Yeah, and I think they were like probably extras on one of the releases or so yeah, you get to see those full uninterrupted scenes of Walter the Einstein Frog. Vic, however, is not a huge fan of having to call his boss Mr. Lau, of course,
on the clearest video phone that has ever existed.
Very nice.
And this predated cell phones and social media, kids. Yes.
That little screen was picture perfect.
And of course, Mr. Lyle, a very familiar face, Chad Cruz, wouldn't you say?
Takashi, what was his name? From Die Hard.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
I don't know what his name was.
James Shigeta is the actor. He's not happy that Vic has not recovered their merchandise. But Vic assures him that he is working on it. And working on it he is, because they got a plan going. Because as we cut to Malik and Toby, and they're being stopped at a police checkpoint. So the cops are doing the usual license registration. They ask Toby what his name is. He tells him he's Sammo Hung. That's not right. Then the cops make him get out of the car. They're going to arrest him. And you would think, okay, they're going to go to the police station, but no, they end up in a quarry.
Have they ever seen a police station in a quarry before? It's commonplace. They put them.
I don't believe it. So they cuff them and let them stand there and they leave. And then moments later, here comes Vic Madison and his boys.
One of the cops does punch Toby in the face, who no sells it. True.
Nice.
That is true.
I gotta say, I think Vic is my favorite character in this movie because he comes at it in different ways. You know, the saying insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. This guy tries all these different ways. When one thing doesn't work, he tries paying off the cops. When that doesn't work, he calls in a strike team. When that doesn't work, he calls his motorcycle buddies. Like he's always going back to the drawing board and he's coming up with new ways. And I found myself at the end of the movie kind of rooting for him.
He knows how to delegate.
The problem is that he's an assassin.
He's an idea man.
And they're hiring him to capture someone, which isn't – they should have hired someone who's a capturer person and not a killer person.
A capturer person.
Yeah, that's – look it up that's on –
even the hunter was to Spider-Man, a capturer person.
Look it up on LinkedIn.
You know like when they put a bounty out on somebody and you hunt them down? They need someone that's like a capturer person. Like
capturer person. It's pretty simple, right?
Indeed, you are pretty. I mean, it is pretty simple. We get that. We get the line, hey, Bob Marley, quit your wailing. Very good line there. Malik gets in a plug for Popeyes. And Quarry, hallelujah. We get some more great action that you can only get in Drive. Ryan Campbell, you had to love this. You were seeing this for the first time. I'm always so envious of you when you get to see these things for the first time.
I will say I won't spoil it, but the one at the end I think was a little bit my favorite one fight scene in the movie at the bar at the end. But this was also really good. I remember in the moment watching it and thinking like, this is really creative. I enjoy creative fight scenes that progress like through a scene, and of course this leads up to the zipline escape where they use their handcuffs to zipline down, and then it's shot and they fall halfway through. So yes, very well paced, creative. Use of the environment, all the things you like to see.
It's very like, you know, it's very Jackie Chan-esque because the way he always used the environment. I mean, how many fight scenes did he have with a fucking ladder, right? Like 100. So, but every fight scene that Jackie Chan had was a little bit different. He'd be on a play set or whatever, on a playground. Then he'd be.
Yeah, but he always had this like sense of almost like comedic. Like
he did.
Like he's always just kind of like, whoa, like these things are happening to me. That didn't have as much like badass as we have here.
Drive is, I mean, you've got a comic relief and then you've got Vic Madison who literally fails. He's like, it's like Wile E. Coyote is essentially who he is. It always kind of blows up right in his face, which is great. I love it.
I think I texted to you, Brian. It reminded me of like that someone watched the scenes in Speed where like they're in the car together and was like, yeah, let's make a whole movie of that.
So Malik, once they get to the car, he wants some answers. And this is where we learn about the biological energy module inside, basically the turbo drive. Malik, of course, at first is like, who's going to believe such a story? Chris, would you believe if somebody told you that?
I mean, I'm not that gullible. I'd probably come out with a response the way that Malik did, which probably warmed Chad Cruz's heart. Since he talked about how he also had one in his ass, a little brown one.
Yeah. Was he talking about a butt plug or something? What was?
Basically, I'm going to assume that he was implying that Toby was full of shit and didn't believe the story.
Okay. I thought he was like, I got a plug. It's brown. It was odd. Who says that? Yes, you're right.
I'm with Chad.
You know, when you're talking to the guy who's basically taken you hostage and already nearly gotten you killed inside of a quarry, you're probably not thinking that clearly with your witticisms.
You know what, though? They should have been like, man, I don't fucking believe you, know? And then he could have like popped his shirt open, right? And showed like this like a red flashing light that's under his skin that's kind of like bulbous and protruding and whatnot. And he'd have been like, oh shit, you do have something here. Like, and he would have believed him right away.
It is kind of funny. I don't know if it's due to just budget, but there is very little shown tech wise of or even said about it. You get a little bit at the end. I don't know if they were planning on this being a series or some spinoffs and they were going to maybe dive into it deeper. But for most of the movie, it's all just spoken about and he really doesn't do like any amazing, you know, feats that it's not like he, you know, jumps a 3-story building or shoots lasers out of his eyes or something like that.
Yeah, he's just kind of a badass. And, you know, it could have easily been like he has the super soldier serum or whatever gimmick instead of an actual implant. But, you know, the implant pays off, you know, towards the end with the upgraded model. So that's we'll see more about that later.
So Toby goes on, tells him he was the prototype, but he's found a corporation in L.A., Contact, who they want this energy module. They're going to pay him $5 million for it. They're going to extract it. And if Toby takes him or if Malik takes him there, Toby's going to split it. So here's where now that little seed of $2.5 million. I would drive somebody from San Francisco to LA for $2.5 million. And I hate driving. And I could only imagine I'd really hate driving in California, especially once we got closer to LA.
What if he had to go across the Golden Gate Bridge?
Exactly. I would do it for $2.5 million.
You're not a bridge guy,
I don't like bridges. No.
Really?
Not a fan.
I guess I just don't understand.
So you've never been to Madison County, have you?
No, he has not.
He's frightened of it.
I mean, everybody should be frightened when Clint Eastwood takes his shirt off.
Well, that.
Whoa, dude. Let the man live. He's like 90.
He didn't say he should.
Well, he made this movie like 35 years ago, Chad.
Pop the shirt off. Let the nips breathe.
He
didn't
say he should die. He just said he should keep his shirt on.
I have no problem. Pop your shirt off, Clint. If you're listening right now, Clint, Mr. Eastwood, take that shirt off.
He's sitting somewhere with his shirt off, arguing with an empty chair.
Arguing an empty chair with something brown in his pants.
Eating beef jerky. Yeah,
baby. That's right.
Out of a bag that he put the beef jerky in, you know, like he transferred it into a second bag. That's funny as well.
He rationed it out, is what you said.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you like keep a bag in your car or something.
I need to save some of this beef jerky for later.
Okay.
Is that him? Is he there?
Listen here, chair.
Oh, that's pretty good. You're gonna need a lozenge after that.
All right. Well, we're gonna go to Malik's house to get these cuffs off, but it's not really his house anymore because he and his wife are estranged, and she kind of kept the house, the kid. She's got another guy, but all his tools are there. So, and she should be at work anyway. It's the middle of the day, so this shouldn't be an issue. But of course, what happens? She comes home. Sees her husband and this guy cuffed together with the hacksaw. This causes a bit of a brouhaha between her and Malik because she's obviously one of the problems she had with him is he's always like he's not a grown up, Jack Cruz, and this is a very not grown up type situation.
Yeah, it's a strange situation to find yourself in with your ex, and but you know, Toby thinks it's clear that she still has feelings for him, so. And he makes it known.
That turbo drive must not only increase his like adrenaline and his response time, but his perception skills perhaps as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just full of shit too, but we'll find out.
That could be.
So she tells Malik, you know, just do what you got to do. Quit calling my man a cheeseburger and leave. So that's what they do. Malik's going to take Toby. Malik, I don't know why at this point he didn't say, yeah, I'm going to take you all the way. Maybe he doesn't think his car will make it. But I'll take you to the bus station. The bus will take you to LA. They say their goodbyes. But before, so as you pointed out, Chad, Toby's like, I think your wife still loves you. He goes into the bus station. Malik does see some shady guys, about three of them following Toby in. And Chris, I know, you had quite the ear for this scene once Toby gets inside. Please share your findings with us. I did.
Yeah, so obviously I've seen this movie a million times, but it's been, you know, probably like not about a year. And as the train station, bus station scene is happening, the soundtrack kicks in and I'm like, wait a minute. I know that I know what song this is, but it wasn't hitting right away. And I messaged you and I'm like, whose theme song is this? It's somebody's theme song. And for whatever reason, I was focused on the early days of Monday Nitro. But as it turns out, it was stock music that was used during the Attitude Era for Mark Mero's theme when he transitioned over to the heel boxer
game. Marvelous Mark Mero. Yeah.
There's a whole like genre of those early or late 90s themes that ended up in action movies. But Harker Hollies was one I hear multiple times. I would hear the Hardy Boys theme quite a few times, like in different, you know, shows and movies.
Harlem
and
Heat's theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spike, I know, used to use like Hardcore Holly and the Hardys, I think, like for the in-betweens, like coming up next on Spike, you know, just be like the intro, outro music for stuff.
WWF would use Lex Luger's WCW theme for the Hotline.
Nice. Wrestling nerd talk, everyone. Hope you're enjoying it.
God, you guys watch wrestling? Oh my gosh.
I should also point out that Malik's wife was played by the lovely Sana Lathan, who would go on to star in many of my favorite movies, such as The Best Man and The Wood. Two excellent, excellent movies that I highly suggest anybody watch. They are not action-based, but
it's never stopped you.
Two of my favorites.
It
has not stopped me.
I thought she'd play a bigger role because I did recognize her, but I guess if it's earlier in her
career. This was her first film.
Right.
I've always loved The Wood. I always thought it was amazing. No, like the movie. That wasn't a pun. That was one pun I don't have. For whatever reason, I saw it like the perfect time as a kid, and it was just always one of those movies. It was like my comfort film.
It's a great movie. It's actually back on cable, and it's been on Pluto TV lately, so you could probably catch it pretty easily these days.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
I
may just watch that.
He doesn't have time to watch that kind of stuff. He has to watch action movies. Or
I thought he was talking to Remo for a minute.
The NBA playoffs are starting to break. Yeah,
you can't be booking Chad's limited movie time with bullshit like The Wood. That's not going to do me anything.
Wait a minute. How dare you call it bullshit?
It's good. It's a good
You're right. Classic. I'm sorry. Fucking bullshit. All right.
A coming of age story.
Well, anyway, the bus station, Toby, once they're in there, he sees the guys too, because there's a lady fixing her face in front of him. Keep fixing it, honey. And that's when he runs out, and that's when the music kicks in of Marc Mero. Fortunately, his boy Malik went around the block, and he's there to pick him up, and thinks, you know, my wife really would love me if I had $2.5 million. And here we go. We now get our road movie. And what a great song kicks things off. Where's the Party At by Intellect. Fantastic jam. And I think, Chris, this tells you the importance of good music when you're on the road.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you know, speaking for myself, I always had a mixtape or a mix CD. I still bring my iPod in the car every day with a playlist ready to pump little Zach up before he gets to school. We'll always throw something on. And nice. Most of the time, his choice of song is the We Will Rock You cover by Warrant, as used in our personal favorite boxing film, Gladiator.
Oh, Gladiator. That's still one we haven't covered that we always know. Say we will. We'll get there.
I have the poster sitting 6 feet away from me right now.
Just sitting there? It's hanging Cuba on the Gooding wall?
Jr. Cuba Gooding Jr. just staring at me.
Waiting for a
frame. You have it on a chair or...?
It's in a frame. Yeah, it's sitting there. I actually have it's just leaning against the wall.
Waiting for some wall space.
There's space. It's waiting for
a nail. You know,
like a screw or something up there. Yeah.
Someone who also has some framed posters currently leaning, waiting for a permanent home on the wall, I can relate.
Well, I've got this, you know, I Brain, you know, the basement situation I currently have, you know, that's the new man basement, whatever. What do you call it? Man cave. But I have yet to deck it out. So I haven't decided whether to, you know, put a fresh coat of paint on this bad boy or just leave it the way it is.
Natural. Yeah. Well,
it's all natural. Okay.
Jesus. All right. Back in Hong Kong, Mr. Chow, who was one of the guys on the ship, who was like the guy's like, what are you doing here, Vic? So Mr. Chow must have been the original guy in charge of trying to get Toby back. He sucks at it, though. Real, real bad. He's horrible. So Lau says, oh, well, nice, you know, they have a little back and forth. Was it a pleasant flight? And he's like, oh, yeah, it was a pleasant flight. Oh, pleasant flight, even though you know you didn't do your fucking job, you son of a bitch. And I'm paraphrasing. So Chow's like, here's the advanced model. And the advanced model is pretty badass, Ryan Campbell, because he uses something you wouldn't think as is a weapon.
That's right. He uses a coin that he flicks with the power. And I guess this is maybe in a good booking decision that they haven't showed any kind of supernatural-esque or really advanced powers yet, because this really stood out as like, oh shit, things just cranked up to another degree. So yeah, he holds the coin up, does the little roll across the knuckles, gives it a good flick, and it goes right through the dude's throat. Somewhat reminiscent of X-Men First Class when Magneto puts a coin straight through Kevin Bacon's skull in a very similar way, which is pretty cool. But a cool kill, and it definitely kicked the movie into overdrive. You guys,
maximum overdrive.
Oh boy, we have covered that one. Lau then Zagu. Get a team together, and it's time for you to go hunting. Back to
capturing.
You're right. Malik asks, we're back to Malik and Toby, and he asks a question I think we probably would have all wanted to ask somebody from Hong Kong. And it's, is there like just kung fu shit going on at all times?
As one wonders. I love the response too.
And I would wonder if like everyone was just going up and calling each other bastard over there, because I know I would be very interested in doing so. But maybe that's just me.
I mean, Chad is on with us, so I mean, just let him have it.
He is a bastard.
Can't hurt me, dog.
So we get more about Toby's backstory at this point. You know, he was built to be the perfect assassin, but we get a little bit, and then they take it away because we got some car trouble. And now, Chad Cruz, we're going to meet quite the character, because they managed to get to a roadside motel and meet Deliverance Bodine.
What a name.
Quite the mouthful. And do they ever actually say her name?
I don't think they do. I didn't get it until I did the notes, because I just kept putting Brittany Murphy in my notes.
Right. I didn't. I at no point did I know what her name was. And I don't know if anyone
she said the like, you get the deliverance. I think when she's like, you're going to get the deliverance special. But I didn't take that that was her name. I'm like, are you going to get fucked?
I thought it was like,
you gonna get fucked like a pig?
Ass raped.
Yeah.
We should cover that movie too.
Okay.
But yeah, she's a very odd and strange woman. And I don't know if they, another thing that was kind of strange is like, I don't know if she was meant to be like childlike. Right.
It's kind of how Brittany Murphy was playing roles at that time. I don't think that was just kind of like her shtick at that time.
She's just wild. Like she's just like a crazy person.
It's like, kind of like bopping like around. Like
donor kind of chick type.
Kind of.
I didn't know if she was like special needs.
I don't think she was that.
I don't think they would have left her in care of the hotel.
I don't know. I mean,
or the hotel in care of her, or either way, whatever.
They didn't have any guests, right? She was just like,
all I'm going to say is people with special needs that I've interacted with and worked with, they're all pretty horny. So that could possibly
be. Hold on. Say what?
That might explain Chad. Yeah, the motel was like been recently renovated. They really aren't completely open for business. Her parents went away, left her in charge. At this point, we also learned that this bio engine inside Toby, like, it wears him down. He needs to like recharge. You can't just go. So he needs to crash. So Deliverance, she's got a real thing for Malik. As Ryan pointed out, she's a seems to be very horny. And she's got a real bad case of the jungle fever in this one.
She probably doesn't see many people like him come through there like that. So
right.
I mean, it's California. It's not like it's fucking Alabama or something.
They don't, right? They play it like it's this, though, podunk. Like,
yeah, it's somewhere in between. This is probably where Eye of the Tiger took place.
I see. It's... Her character is, how did you describe her? She's like a shot of something. She is unique in the way that I don't really know what she adds to the film. I mean, it's fun to watch her because she's kind of like so out of control and stuff. And she's having such a blast doing all these things.
Well, but this is the point where the movie drags a little bit kind of in the middle. And so maybe she's supposed to be the shot in the arm to kind of give it some comedy and some energy. Right in smack in the middle.
There's definitely pacing things with this movie, right? And not just pacing, but like, is it serious or is it? It's comedic. There's plenty of times that you can laugh.
I mean, I always looked at it as just a way to get our heroes to the next set piece to brawl through. Like they needed a reason to stop off, and they encounter her, and you know they throw her a bone a little bit. I mean, she does wants become,
to you know, throw her a bone.
Right. But didn't you feel like Malik was kind of into it a little bit?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird too, because like they tease the "your wife still loves you" angle, but then he's kind of it. Like it seems like
he's like, I'm not that against
it. And he's getting more into it as the time together goes on. He's not
because
because you watch the full cut, because there is an extended cut of Drive when they're brawling in the garage and stuff like that. when like Toby comes to her rescue, like he kind of gives him a look like, ah, you son of a bitch, like almost like, you know, you cock blocked me. But then, like, you know, they don't play it off, but they do kind of go a little bit further with that in the longer version.
Yeah, I believe it was Chris Rock who said a man is only as faithful as his options. So that could be the situation here where he's like, well, this is like a surefire thing. Like, I don't have to do any work for it. She's just basically saying, yeah, let's do this. So obviously he's at least contemplating it.
Brain, I'm happily, got 2.5 mil in the bank. You know, you get a little extra leeway.
I'm a happily married man, Brain. Yes. I don't know what you're saying. We shouldn't be. No, we should be talking about the sanctity of marriage here.
He's separated from his wife at this point.
Are they divorced or just separated? Okay. All right.
And his wife's got a guy.
So I know. It could be
like, hey, well, if she can have cheeseburger, I can have.
Yeah. Toby should have fucked him up.
All right. Well, this was a bit of a convenience type thing because, in addition to this motel, my dad was a hot rodder, and he's got a garage with like every tool in the world that you would possibly need. So go over there, and you can work on your car while Toby does his recharge. And she's in there, you know, keeping Malik company. But before that, we do cut back to Vic and Hedgehog. They're having a conversation about Hedgehog's flatulence. And that's when Vic's reinforcements show up. They're getting ready to take another crack at Toby.
That's right. He's gone back to the drawing board. Now he's come up with a new plan. Shock sticks and a tactical insertion crew.
Let's see if that works. But
it gives us a hell of a fight scene.
Tactical insertion crew is what I call my teams. And my balls.
Nothing tactical about it.
Who are you saying this to?
You know, whoever listens.
Well, we may have just lost a few listeners after that comment. I don't know. We didn't have that many to begin with, so we got to be real careful with this shit, Chad.
Chad's trying to get that Trojan or Durex sponsorship.
Dude, I'm throwing gold out there. These companies should be throwing themselves at us.
Yeah, they really should. Never mind. I was going to say throw their whatever they're listening to this on out the window. I don't know. They could be in their car though. That could be a problem.
Out the window if Chad on these lanes, they're gonna throw it in the bathtub with them.
They would be in their car driving.
Dang. All right. So she's with we're back to our girl Deliverance. She's hanging out with Malik in the garage. Eventually he's like, you know, maybe you should go check on Toby. See, he'll tell you some what you want to know. So she goes up there. Toby is out like a light, but what is on the TV but Walter the Einstein Frog? So she's enjoying that.
Love it.
And that's about the time Vic and his insertions show up at the motel. Deliverance is trying to wake Toby up. She's clueless. Everyone at this point is clueless of what's going on. Vic goes to the office to get like the master key, and he tears that shit up. And then back in the garage, this is now where Malik realizes, uh-oh, there's some trouble. Because he hears guys come in. Vic's team is going room by room. And we get Malik now in the garage using these various weapons. And
maybe the best chainsaw pull in the history of chainsaw.
No doubt. I was going to mention that. Has anyone ever started a chainsaw in one pull?
Let alone like move it into an upward motion, get the element of surprise all in one like,
chain break off instantly.
Perfect.
Even Leatherface couldn't get that done.
No,
maybe the most unrealistic thing in this entire movie is that.
I'd like to call to attention the tactical insertion crew's lack of tactics. And they're like, oh, they have like a key, right? They have the master key. They could have like quietly moved from room to room and opened the doors and walked in and looked. Instead, they're like fucking kicking doors in.
Hey, you know how long these guys train busting down fake doors and they finally get a chance to do it for real? They're going to bust on every single one of those goddamn doors again.
Yeah, but they open the door. They like swipe the card and then they kick it in. It doesn't make any sense.
What they should have done is open the door, get on the floor and walk the dinosaur. But they didn't want to do that.
What?
That's what everybody does.
Was not was. I don't know. But yeah, they got shock sticks. That's a pretty cool gimmick. And they kind of sound like lightsabers. Yeah, so fun. Ryan Campbell was probably in.
Yeah, they give a nice kind of flash too, like the early, you know, first cuts of Star Wars. Whenever they would hit, there'd be a bright flash and that would take up the entire screen.
Oh, I love that shit.
And I love this because we get Toby gets the cuts the guy's boots off. So now he has his hands insulated so he could take on the shock sticks. Brilliant. That's like one of those nice little details that I'll always remember from this movie.
That and what I really liked about this particular fight scene is all the kind of close quarters action, like in the kitchen part of the apartment or in the corner on the bed. Like there's a lot of like everything's really tight and confined, and he's having to do like tight moves and pull people in and, you know, use the environment around him to kind of shield himself. It was all just really clever and different. And then of course, when you throw him through the window, now you're outside and it opens up things a little bit more. So just, again, great use of the environment. Good stuff.
I would have done, you know, he kept jumping off the wall and kicking people and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I thought was awesome. And I would have had the, you know, the bad guys seeing that he's using the wall to fuck him up. They like, you know, slash at the wall or somehow break the drywall so he can't jump off of it anymore. So then he just does some wicked like fucking cartwheel through the drywall into the next room over.
Nice. That's what I thought you were going to go with, like somebody. Or like the bad guys would try to do the same thing, but they would somehow fly through the wall like idiots.
And one guy gets stuck in the studs or whatever. But now you have Toby in the next room over, and you just go to that very next scene where he's throwing the mattress on them as the end of the door. So
then you get the shot of this old family that's sitting in the next room, and then the wall gets busting down. There's a fight going on behind them, and they're just none the wiser to it. Just
right. And if it were the '80s, there'd be a guy and a girl banging.
Well, that happened like in Universal Soldier. That happened too.
Well, Universal Soldier, you know, the when he's like he has to rest or he has to be on ice, like all this kind of like it feels like Universal Soldier a lot.
You're right. Well,
but I'm pretty sure Van Damme was literally naked in front of that actress. They're like, you know, you don't have to be fully naked. He's like, no, I'm a method actor.
Thank God we got some Van Damme nudity talk in on this episode. It's really a must. People wait for it. Deliverance gets in on the action when she gets back to the garage. And she like grabs the chainsawed off arm that was still holding the gun. And she has no fear. She's a wild one.
She's special.
And then Toby eventually makes his way to the garage. I liked where he was kicking the tires at the dudes. That was a good piece of business as well. And at this point, Vic has had enough. And as the late great Gorilla Monsoon would say, he's going to bring out the heavy artillery, literally in this case, because he blows up the entire motel.
Which isn't the greatest tactic when you're not supposed to kill them, but
you know, he was pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, you send a exterminator in to, you know, capture a rat and you got to send the capturer. That's all I'm saying.
That rat bites him 5 times. He's just going to stomp on the damn thing.
That's true. He just went off. He didn't know. He went back to his muscle memory, which is blow up the building.
And he did. And, but
man, we took care of that rat problem. We blew up your house.
Yeah, there are no more rats in your house. There's also no more house. So Toby and Malik and Deliverance do make the big running away from the explosion. They do the jump because of the force of the explosion. But then Toby shoots out. So they came in the RV and two SUVs brought the inserters over. Toby shoots out the tires of one of the SUVs. They steal the other one. But wait a minute, Toby wants to blow something up too, and he blows up the RV. So as you said, we kind of had a little bit of a lull, but man, when that action picked up, then it was like, whoa, awesome martial arts action, awesome shootouts, and then they just start blowing shit up. Beautiful.
A lot of explosive action here in the midpoint.
Absolutely. So now we take a little breath. They stop at a diner. Somehow Deliverance is making the plans for them to meet the guys at Contact at the Apollo 14 Bar and Grill.
Nice. Oh, I don't know if I've ever been a bar and grill in a movie I've wanted to visit more than the Apollo 14 bar and grill.
It's a nice one. It's
just so cool. You got this cool aesthetic. It's like a little bit of like the Power Rangers Command Center meets a Star Wars Star Destroyer aesthetic. I really enjoyed it. I wanted to be there.
I heard if you drink too much, they'll call a shuttle for you.
I prefer the titty twister.
Okay.
How do we go from a space joke to a titty twister?
It's a bar and grill.
Yeah. It's a bar and grill.
Yeah, from Dust Till Dawn.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah. Right? They had food there.
All right. Well, Vic has to call in to his boss again. And this is where he finds out. All right. Well, yeah, don't worry about it. The advanced model is coming. He's going to take over the operation. You report to him. But here's some good news for Vic. We don't need Toby anymore. So just rip his freaking heart out and bring it back. You can have the rest of them. We don't need it. So now we get a little bit more of Toby's backstory. Find out he lost the woman he loved, Chad Cruz.
Mm.
She was a target of that's who they wanted him to kill because she was anti-government.
Yeah.
And she kind of opened his eyes though about what was really going on. But since he didn't kill her, they did, and it's very sad.
So that was Hong Kong pre-97. So was that like the British, British government or like the because they weren't part of China? 97
is when they moved over back to China. Yeah.
Correct. I need more backstory here, Brian. Can you?
No, Hong Kong 97 is with Robert Patrick.
That is true. Can you dig into more of this story?
I'll do that and write you up a report sometime later this week. Thank you. They do.
That's not a complicated
book report podcast coming soon.
Yeah. They make it to the Apollo 14 and it happens to be karaoke night. I think I should ask everybody before we go. Chad Cruz, what would your karaoke song be?
It would probably be one of the deeper tracks from an Elvis album. I don't know. I'm pretty versatile. I can pretty much hit any note that you need me to hit and any genre of music. I got something I can go to.
What about you, Toyman?
As someone who used to do karaoke weekly, my two standards were Insane in the Brain by Cypress Hill and Bye 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 by NSYNC.
Interesting.
Ryan Campbell.
Oh, probably some like 90s punk or something to try to get everybody touch that little nostalgia button. Maybe some like Blink-182 or something.
Okay. I might do a little Hello, My Baby. Hello, My Honey. Hello, My Ragtime Gal.
Would you do the kick across the stage?
Nice. Kiss by wire, baby. My heart's on fire. Maybe I'd do that. I don't know. A little Michigan J Frog.
From the Einstein Frog to Michigan J Frog over here.
Have you guys you guys remember the song At a Medium Pace by Adam Sandler?
No.
Jesus Christ. Look it up when this is over with. And the most hilarious time I was ever at a karaoke bar, a roommate of mine at the time did At a Medium Pace, and it's a completely like serious love song. It sounds like a love song from Adam Sandler, and it's the most like vulgar song ever. But it's great. And I just remember dying laughing as I was watching it. Look it up.
You got some homework assignments there, folks. So the contact guys are in the waiting for them there, Continental Technologies, if you're not in the know. They show them like, hey, here's $100,000 as a kind of the down payment. And you know what? You got a tracking beacon on you. That's why these guys know where you're at all the time. So they do some kind of scanny thing and it must do interview.
He waves like a walkie-talkie in front of his chest.
It's like a stud finder.
And they found it and it's done. We cut back to Vic, who's like, oh, here comes the cavalry. So he sees the advanced model, the motorcycle dudes. It's business about to pick up. And now we cut to Toby Wong doing some karaoke with changing it up a bit with Won't You Go Home, Malik Brody. So he really wants to get Malik back with his wife. Seems to be
trying to play match.
It's almost like the second mission he's on, other than getting the.
Well, he lost the one he loves, and he just can't stand to see his buddy. Yeah. Unfinished business. He's he's living vicariously through him. There's a little bit of himself in there.
Yeah. Very good. Very good observation, Ryan Campbell.
Thank you. I like observations.
Do you know what's also very sad about this film beyond the relationships?
What's that?
That are lost. What's that? They never get to finish a beer ever. Yeah. Not this time, not the time they're in the bar earlier. Every time they order a beer, they get one sip. They say, damn, that's good. And then, you know,
shit goes down.
So he's going down.
I feel like we probably need a beer sponsorship somewhere.
Here's where we would talk about it. Come on, advertisers. We're here. We reach dozens of people every week.
Literally.
Practically dozens.
Hundreds of thousands of people.
Right. Dozens of people, but they have two ears each.
There you go.
So.
And if they're listening to us at home and they have, you know, a significant other and children and stuff, that's at least, you know, three, four, five more
sets of ears. If they're listening in their car and it's nice out and the windows are open, who knows who's hearing it? I mean, it could be anyone. Yeah. I mean, come on. Give me a break. So, yeah, the fun and games are now over. The motorcycle guys are going through the windows. Obviously, the people, the patrons there are panicking. They're running around. The contact guys, though, they were packing heat for some reason. This must be really, I don't know that like these tech companies were that bloodthirsty. I mean,
their line of work.
Maybe I'm just naive to things.
I wonder, I mean, when we talk about these contact and these other companies, what about the technology of these tables to be all bulletproof? That is wildly awesome.
Bulletproof tables.
Bulletproof tables.
Action would be a perfect place for you to advertise.
Yes, exactly.
Or a spinoff company.
It's like a space. I think it goes with the Apollo 14 thing, right? It's a space technology to make
these tables. They're probably made of a bulletproof.
The podcast business has been friendly to us, so we're moving into tables.
With a new space age polymer that will make them bulletproof. Why do you need a bulletproof table? Why don't you need a bulletproof table in these uncertain times?
Have you seen an action movie?
So yeah, we get a shootout. The motorcycle dudes are taking on Toby and Malik. And once they get rid of the motorcycle dudes, they're like, all right. Once again, they're like, we're done. Our work here is done. But that's when the advanced model gets his grand entrance. And Chris, it's about to be turbo drive versus turbo drive.
That's right. The prototype versus the upgrade. And Toby tries to send, I believe this is the part where Toby's like, you know, Malik, get out of here. And Malik's like, nah, screw that. Let's fuck him up and take his coat.
Oh, I love that line.
To that effect.
Yes.
Well, let's kick his ass and take his coat. I can't remember it exactly.
I think that was it.
You know, this basically solidifies the friendship. Finally, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, hesitance from Malik. And then, you know, the bond was slowly growing the more shenanigans they got into. But now he's going to stand there and help Toby, you know, fight this final fight.
But another tragedy, he rips the coat in half, which is, I mean.
He also gets his sunglasses
broken.
That's true. God damn.
And that was
couldn't loot anything off this punch guy.
And like, it was like that very like slow motion scene where like he takes the hit and then you just see the glasses kind of like crumble off his face. That was a nice, was cool shot.
I wish he had like tried the coin gimmick and Toby like, you know, blocked it or something. That way it would have paid off.
Kind of like how they set up Lauren Avedon and King of the Kickboxers to block Billy Banks's, like, you know, finishing move.
Yes. Yes. It would have made, it makes sense, you know, like you got to pay it off.
It's like the equivalent of kicking out at one.
Essentially, yeah.
We get
Toby.
Go on, Chad. I'm sorry.
Let's just say, you know, Toby, right? We're in turbo drive mode now. He would certainly kick out at one.
Yeah. Well, Malik does end up getting his own battle because Vic pulls out a bullwhip from out of nowhere. And he's, you know, he's going. So we got the matchups. You got Malik versus Vic. We got the prototype versus the advanced model. We go back to the command center in Hong Kong, and Lau is there. It's like, oh, boost all the implants on the advanced model, which sounds like a horrible idea if you've ever seen any sort of movie. But obviously, Mr. Lau had.
He's too successful to watch movies. Exactly.
His dick just grew like a foot and a half.
Blue Chew, everyone.
Why did we put implants in there for science?
Well, you never know what the mission is going to be. You know, maybe he's going to have to infiltrate some
he might have to be an insertion team. You never know. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Vic is now, meanwhile, he's almost choked Malik out with that whip. But I think Malik plays a little possum. That old trick. He has a gun nobody knows about until they know about it, because he shoots Hedgehog, and then he just bludgeons the fuck out of Vic's skull with that. It's like, he is obviously taking out a lot of anger on Vic, who was just trying to murder him. So it's very justified.
It's when he's like, you don't ever pull out a whip on a black man. Right. And he's like, you know, beating the crap out of him.
He reparations his head. I'll tell you that right now. Toby drives a motorcycle into the advanced model, who is at this point overloaded because of Mr. Lau and his stupid commands. But Lau's really unaffected, because he like opens up a door and there's like a bunch more turbo drive dudes.
Yeah.
And right. It's like, ooh, drive two. Obviously at this point we know that's not the case, but if I would have seen it on August 12th, the same time Toy Man did, I'd have been like, when are they going to make drive two?
Yeah,
I'm still waiting for it.
I mean, it could happen. Stranger things have happened, but I'm guessing
It could have been like, you know, they took the implant out of Toby, but now they got to put it back in.
Right. Yeah. He's living a normal life and everything. But now this army of advanced models has shown up.
It took a while to get here because the tanker got stuck in the Suez Canal, but now they're here.
You got Malik and his wife are back together and they're raising a kid. Toby lives next door with Brittany Murphy's corpse. Sorry about
that. Stopped me dead in my tracks. I was going to say that, you know, for as popular as Dacascos became off of Only the Strong, it's kind of amazing that he didn't get any type of franchise out of it. You know, he had this, he had Only the Strong, but I mean,
he had 22 episodes of Stairway to Heaven.
True. I mean, I guess you could say that, but they put him into an established franchise with that. You know, they could have made Only the Strong 2. They could have done a couple more of those.
It could have. I agree. But we don't get Drive 2. Now it seems like it's all over. We got rid of the advanced model. Malik and Toby are making their way out of the Apollo. But Vic is somehow still alive, creeping up behind him.
Boy's got one more trick.
He's got two detonators in his hand. He's going to take himself out and everybody with him. He's a suicide bomber at this point. But they grab the detonators, kick him away, and then Toby hits the line that he thinks is cool but isn't. Time to blow. And it is indeed time to blow. They hit it. Vic dies. The next thing you know, the rocket's toppling over. The building's blowing up and burning down. And we have come to the end of our film. Cue the Where's the Party At? Here's the end credits. Final thoughts. Your first time watching it, Ryan Campbell.
I really enjoyed it. Didn't really know what to expect. You didn't really tell me much about it going in. And like we said, the title doesn't quite set it up. But the action scenes were good. The kind of friendly banter back and forth. I don't want to say buddy cop, but kind of in a road trip type movie feel of it was nice. Does drag a little bit in the middle, but then the action scene at the hotel just, you know, kicks everything back off again. So I enjoyed it. It was a good watch. I can see where, you know, I would have wanted more of it back in the day had I seen it.
Toy Man, you watched it 1,000 times. What did you have to say?
I mean, what more needs to be said with that? This is one of my favorite movies in general, one of my favorite action movies. I'm a huge Dacascos fan. We've gone over that multiple times. Kadeem Hardison, always liked him from A Different World and the various movies that he pops up in. I think that there is a good chemistry between the two main actors. Brittany Murphy, you know, she doesn't add much to it, so you can't really say much about her. But, you know, to Ryan's point, the action is awesome. You know, most of these bad guys are just fodder for Dacascos' skills, and that's perfectly fine with me because he's one of the best martial artists out there.
And last but not least, Chad Cruz.
Yeah, it's an excellent movie. I mean, it's It's pure entertainment. It's really fun. If you like action movies, you'll probably love this. The last thing I'll say, I'm just going to rebook one thing, Brain, if I could.
Of course.
At the very end, as they're leaving the now fully exploded bar and grill, they're like, oh, we got to get to LA now. And we're going to walk. They should have been like, oh, we're going to walk there. No, I know how to do this car. No, we're not going to walk. Let's drive.
Yeah.
And they could have been like, ah, you know what I mean? And then that would have been it. But that's all I got.
I know a lot of people have said this was in many ways Rush Hour before there was a Rush Hour. And there's definitely some elements to that.
I can see that. I mean, I always took Money Talks as Rush Hour before Rush Hour.
Yeah, I agree. Chris Tucker, I mean, is like the, I feel like Malik's a much like plays a much straighter than, you know, he's not just like a walking stereotype. You know what I mean? That's how I see, like, especially in Money Talks, how that's the Chris Tucker Money Talks. But yeah, I can see where they're coming from there.
Money does talk. Again, sponsors, give us some money. We'll plug your products. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. It's been quite the episode. First time all four of us have been on one show. But when we have the Toy Man on, we have to get an update on my Michael Dudikoff figures that may or may not be happening and what is actually happening at Figures Toy Company.
What is actually happening at Figures Toy Company are some new Three Stooges figures. The set finally includes both Joe Besser and Curly Joe Derita. So now we have all of the Three Stooges, Mo, Larry, Curly, Shemp, Joe, and Curly Joe, in stock in a variety of outfits. Wrestling-wise, we just got in the Evilise variant figure. You can get her separately or in a combo deal with the original Evilise figure from the Rising Stars of Wrestling. And right now, that is pretty much it. We are waiting on the late spring, early summer shipment, which should include the new modernized wrestling bodies. We're going to start first with some referees, announcers, commentators, security staff to supplement your collection, add to your display. If you're into the figure photography, they will certainly make those pictures pop. And then moving forward, we do have further plans in the work with Mr. Jim Cornette. He'll be selling some more Midnight Express action figures and Jim Cornette action figures on his website, and we'll have some more stuff in stock. There are some plans for a modernized style Jim Cornette down the line, and some other stuff that we are still working out the kinks for. So if you want to check all that out, please check out figurestoycompany.com. You can follow us at Figures Toy Co. on X, and it's Figures Toy Company, just the company name, on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm glad you brought up wrestling announcers, because I will be back behind the mic for Spot Monkey Promotions. I'm going to be recording some commentary for them very soon. Actually, by the time this hits, I will have already done it. That's going to be up on IWTV. And then they've got their big tournament to crown their first champion coming up. And I'll be doing the commentary on that show as well. Very excited about that. Also very excited that next time, Chad Cruz, you've picked our next episode.
I did?
You sure did. Because we're going to talk Beastmaster.
Ah, wonderful.
So who all will join me on this episode? We'll find out. We'll be Chad.
It'll be at least me.
We'll see if everybody else jumps on that one too, if possible. But we're going to be talking about the Beastmaster going back to the 80s next time here on the Bulletproof Podcast. Anybody else have it? Ryan, you have anything else you want to talk about before we say goodbye?
No, it's the best stuff I discussed. Heading into the warm season and Blockbuster's coming up soon. It's going to be a busy time of year. Some big TV series coming up. So I'll be covering as quick as I can.
That's what I like to hear. Toy Man, anything else you want to talk about?
You can check out my review that kicked off this month when we had Going Bananas.
Oh, what a week. What a week that was.
Yeah, what a week that was. I went back and watched Going Bananas for the first time in years. You can currently check out that. We've also been doing a little bit of digging in the archives. We recently unearthed my What If Cannon Made Their Spider-Man movie. What if Cannon made Masters of the Universe 2? Those have been reposted across social media lately. Check out the No Surrender Cinema archives, and I will have a new one next week. I am still trying to finalize it, but it may be a journey back down the old school kung fu well. We will see what happens.
Chad Cruz, anything? Any words of wisdom? I mean, people love you when you're on this program.
The only real words that I would give to you are only to buy time till we can get to 1 hour and 15 minutes because it is episode 115. But other than that, I have nothing important to say. but I figure you could probably just edit in an extra 30 seconds of silence. So.
Well, you know, we do have ads sometimes at the beginning that extend the time. But if you want me to make sure this thing hits 115 before I wrap it up, I certainly could do that. I could filibuster for another, I don't know, 12 seconds, 11, 10. I mean, yeah. I could do it. I'm a professional.
Very similar.
Did you see in the trailer for the new HBO show where they're at Death Wish? There's like a premiere.
You sent me the screen capture of it, but I have not seen the actual trailer of it. No. But that's, you know, any love for Death Wish is okay with me.
That's right.
Is it an action-oriented show, or is it just one like the HBO dramas and they just happen to be in...
It's like a spy thriller. It's got Robert Downey Jr. in it, and it's like a I think it's a Chinese like spy thriller, and the movie's like debuting in over there, overseas. So
it's on Max.
What did I say? What's it called? Shoot. I don't know, it's one of their big ones now that's out. And like I said, Robert Downey Jr. So I'm sure if you go into Max, it'll be front and center.
I'm sure it will be. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. And as always, stay tuned for more of the Bulletproof Podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.